abundant waters cannot extinguish love, and rivers cannot wash it away. If a man were to donate all the riches of his house for love, they surely would be despised. That's Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 7. It's a very, very, well, what shall we say, important or magnificent scripture. I don't know what superlative to use. It's a wonderful scripture because it shows that money is not going to do anything for the power of love. It has nothing to do with it. And also it shows how difficult it is to extinguish love. It's not extinguished by any means, really, as illustrated by the abundant waters that could not extinguish, cannot extinguish it. And we saw in verse 6 yesterday how love was as strong as death. Wonderful, wonderful ideas, principles. But the idea about, what should we call it? The facts, the wonderful facts about love, which is a principle, too. Love is a principle. There's principled love. There are different kinds of love. Erotic love, principled love, family love, and friendly love. Well, we have... Continuing allergies. And that Song of Songs... Little children. Verse was from chapter 8, verse 7, from the Word Green version of 2003. I don't know what video we have today. I'm not planning on any. But we have our article, The Ark of Urartu, chapter 3, paragraph 10, which is fairly lengthy. And during the brainstorming, I write... in this paragraph, for a title for this article. One was The Tower of Nimrod and the Birth of Nations, a reference to the Tower of Babel and the consequence of the confusion of languages, the dispersion of Genesis 10 through 11:9. The spreading of the nations throughout the earth has been better understood when synchronized by a true genealogy. According to sacred annals, the events described at Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9 occurred about 100 years after the death of Noah, or 2932 minus 100 equals 2832 in the genealogy. Noah lived from 3882, 950 years, to 2932. 3882 minus 1,000 years would be 2882. And 2882 plus 50 is 2932. So that's one way of getting it, is subtract 1,000 and add 50 instead of subtracting 950. But then when we subtract 100, we get 2832. For the time of the events of the building of the Tower of Babel, okay? And that's at the time when Heber, called, as we discussed earlier in this article, in China, he's called Huang Di. And it was when he was 51, approximately 51 years of age. In 2832, that is. So at that time, that would be about the time of the construction of the Tower of Babel. And why do we say, well, we'd have to look, I guess, at Genesis or else nobody will really understand what we're saying, unless they know this passage. Here it is. So they began to live in Shinar. So yeah, they might have come to Shinar and taken some time before they began to build the tower also. But then they began to build a tower, right? A tower in verse 4 they were going to build. Abu al-Farag, or Faraj, or he's also called Bar Hebraeus, an Armenian who studied local traditions in the area and wrote on biblical chronology, estimated that 60 years after their arrival on the plains of Shinar, the people conspired together to the beginning of building of the Tower of Babel, say 2772 BCE. Now, I don't know, that was a number that I arrived at from me, a method I didn't discuss here, but it's mentioned in other articles that we've that we wrote later, actually. But how did I get the 2772 right here? I'm not quite sure myself. But we know that the death of Shem was 2780, for example, in our chronology, based on the Bible text of the Septuagint version. The Book of Jubilees gives, and that's just from my memory, but I think we can, it's in the table here. I think if we look back at the table of the patriarch's ages, or the patriarchal ages, we see Shem died in 2780, right there. So, based on the Bible text itself. And we use the Greek Septuagint version of the Bible. So, oh, I've gone a little too far here. Hang on. What is this? Chapter 4. Okay. We're very close. Okay. So, yeah, so they... You know, we're estimating they began to build the Tower of Babel sometime around 2772 here. But, I mean, it's curious. It's curious what results from that. And we're going to see that. The Book of Jubilees gives 43 years. Actually, the eclipse that we found, there's an eclipse that we find at the end of this paragraph. The eclipse occurred over the site of the Ark of Noah, and it was in 2774. So just, you know, a year or two prior to 2772, there was an eclipse on the Ark site. So maybe they, after that eclipse, they began to travel. Or maybe they, yeah, I mean, that was, I think, one of my thoughts that I had. But the Book of Jubilees gives 43 years for the time of construction for the Tower of Babel until the dispersion. So if we begin in 2772, we get 2772 minus 43 is 2729 for the dispersion, which is about 8 years after the end of the rule of Fuxi in the Chinese history, where Fuxi, identified by us as Kainan, the son of Arpakshad, right? From the Book of Luke, that was who Kainan was. But we should just look it up just to help anyone who hasn't seen this chronology yet. Is it in chapter 3? Yeah, of Luke. He counts backwards to Shelah. His father was Cainan, and Cainan was the son of Arpachshad. Right. So we were just, I'm not always sure of my memory being exactly accurate on all of these points because there's so much information here, but Fushi ruled from 2852 to 2737 BCE, according to at least one version of the Chinese history. And here, a remarkable convergence is taking place because the beginning of the Sinic cycle, Sinic circle, in Egyptian history, in brackets, the Sothic cycle, start of Egyptian rule in the Old Chronicle, end of brackets, in Mr. Jackson's book, occurred, the beginning of the Sinic circle, that is, it occurred 553 years after the deluge, according to Mr. Jackson. And this is in the genealogy, and that is our chronology also. 3282 minus 553 is equal to minus 3282 minus 553 equals 2729. Can we do that easily? Yeah, I think so. 3200 minus 500 is 2700. 82 minus 53 is 29. So, because, you know, 83 minus 53 would be 30. So 82 minus 53 is 29. And we have 2729 BCE. That would be, according to Mr. Jackson's book, but using our date for the deluge, the beginning of the Sinic circle of Egyptian rule, or Egyptian history. In a talk in 1997, Mr. Ronald Eldon Wyatt told an audience in Chico, California, the radiocarbon dating results of the tests performed on the petrified wood slab which he dug up on the day of the official opening for Noah's Ark National Park at Uzungeli, Turkey, June 20th, 1987 CE. An event witnessed by many people, which was 5700, that was the date of the radiocarbon test, 5700 years before present, or BP. That is where the present is defined as 1950, the year 1950 of the Common Era. Thus, 5700 BP is 1950 minus 5700, and minus 1, because there's no year 0 at the changing or the turn of the Common Era. There's no year 0, so we have to subtract another 1 because we'd go back further because there's no year 0. So 3751 is what we get. BCE, 3751 BCE, right? It's 1950 minus 5700. If it were 2000 minus 5700, we'd get 3700, right? But because it's 1950, it's already gone back 50 years, so it goes back 50 more from 37 to 3750 plus the extra one. 3751. That's the BCE date, 3751 BCE. That should be when the ark would be, you know, cut down if it were an accurate date. If it were calibrated, right? If that date was actually calibrated already, you know, that if it had already been, you know, not needing any other adjustment. If it doesn't need any further adjustment, that would be the date. The wood, incidentally, had no tree rings, you know, which is a fact that that doesn't surprise us because it's consistent with the absence of rain prior to the deluge of Noah's day. And these rings depend upon temperature changes that stop sap from running in the tree during the cold seasons. And so there were not, prior to the deluge, big temperature swings from, you know, summer to winter. There wasn't a big temperature change because, as at least some people believe, there were waters above the expanse of the sky. There was water up above, whether in vapor form or whatever, but there was, some people believe this, there was water up there. The water canopy, it's called, before the deluge that brought this water down. So there had been this water canopy. Now, a lot of people have abandoned that theory, but they're not necessarily believing a lot of what we believe anyway. We don't know what. All we know was that if you look at what the book of Genesis says, I mean, we don't have to worry about everything about science, because science is always changing, but we're going to come to that also. But it says, let a dividing occur, Genesis 1 and 6, between the waters and the waters. There should be waters beneath the expanse and waters above the expanse. And the expanse was called heaven. And there were some waters above that expanse. See, and the waters under the heavens were brought together in verse 9 in one place, so that dry land appeared. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So there were waters in the heavens. Now, those waters above the expanse of the heaven could have been, and we do believe that there was a more moderate climate prior to the deluge, and that Earth was a more heavenly or, you know, paradise-like place, even in the time of, especially in the time of Adam and Eve, before Adam sinned, before they both sinned, because they were living in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't an extreme temperature swing from summer to winter. That would be not surprising if it was the Garden of Eden, which it was, according to the Bible. So the temperature only began to fluctuate into very extreme hot and cold based on the changes from summer to winter after the deluge, only after the deluge. So before the deluge, there wouldn't be tree rings. That's the whole point. There are tree rings that depend on rainfall and also on, and there hadn't been any rainfall prior to the deluge either. This is the way that we may interpret the Bible, and it makes perfect sense because it's consistent with exactly with what the Bible says. And so this wood, that's petrified wood that was found, it didn't have any tree rings. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, and 2, 5, and 6. Genesis 1:11, God went on to say, let the earth cause grass to shoot forth, vegetation bearing seed, fruit trees yielding fruit according to their kinds, the seed of which is in it upon the earth. And it came to be so. And 2, 5, and 6. Now there was as yet no bush of the field found in the earth, and no vegetation of the field was as yet sprouting, because Jehovah God had not made it rain upon the earth. And there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist would go up from the earth, and it watered the entire surface of the ground. So, when God made the trees, he watered them using a mist that went up from the ground, according to that. At least that's one very, very possible interpretation. But we see from the account later on when the rainbow was given as a sign of the covenant between God and man, that God would no longer bring a deluge. That rainbow was the first time there had been a rainbow. That was why it was given. This is the sign of the covenant, Genesis 9 and 12. My rainbow I do give in the cloud. You see? And it must serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall occur that when I bring a cloud over the earth, then the rainbow will certainly appear in the cloud. See? So, it definitely sounds from that that it had not rained prior to the deluge, based on that special rainbow covenant. Now, Noah's birth in 3882 BCE was long after the trees first began to grow in the wild. From Genesis 2, 5, and 6, there was a mist going up from the ground at least by the time that trees were created, and they were able to be watered from the springs of the earth, you know, from the natural waters in the earth itself. As dated by the genealogy, Noah was born in 3882, and 3751 corresponds to Noah as aged 131 years of age. 3751 BCE, we just saw, was the calculated date for the ark wood, provided it had been calibrated, which we just saw from our study of the previous article that we just studied, which was Trojan War, wasn't it? We just learned about how this date was not calibrated, so this is probably not right, but if it had been calibrated, Noah would have been 131 at the time of the cutting down of those trees that he used to build the ark, right? And a radiocarbon date for wood corresponds, of course, to the time that the tree stops growing, or in other words, dies. Mr. Wyatt makes the point in this 1997 video. Which 1997 video? In this 1997 video, that the date done by radiocarbon for the ark wood is, in his opinion, a completely meaningless number because of how few years it took after the atom bombs got dropped for Japan's cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki to recover and become inhabited. I think it's at the beginning of the article where we mention, is it? Maybe? What chapter is that? Chapter 2? No? Okay. It was somewhere else. There is a 1997 video where Ron Wyatt talks about that, and I think I quote from it somewhere, whether it was in the Trojan War article or somewhere in this article. I'm not sure where else it would be, but you can look it up and find it on the internet probably too, on YouTube. But the date is, in his opinion, meaningless because the atom bombs dropped in Japan didn't take that long, you know, to it, or the cities didn't take long to recover from the atom bombs. So we may not rely on radiocarbon dating in any real way. But of course, you know, the radiocarbon half-life of the radio of the fission products, or the radioactive materials that were produced in those explosions, might be very long-lived. It's just that we know life can carry on even with a significant amount of radioactive activity, but or radioactivity. For what it's worth, some of the wood used in the ark and tested as cut down in 3751 BCE was 469 years old, according to our current calculation here, right? If it was cut down in 3751 and we had to get all the way to 3282 before the deluge, that's 469 years between those two dates. We thus far see no reasons to doubt. I mean, it works. It's still possible the wood could have been that old. But at this time, we hadn't calibrated that radiocarbon date, which ended up proving that the wood was only 5 years old or something. In the Trojan War article, I think it was, where we studied that, right? The last article we did. We thus far see no reasons to doubt our genealogy dates. We dated Abraham as born in 2206 BCE, a date which closely agrees with the dating of meteorite showers by scientists to 2200 to 2000 BC, as mentioned in our own earlier article, Joseph and Owen, Science in the News. Click on that link and it comes up, Science in the News, the British newspaper, 1997, the headline, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed by a comet, say astronomers. With Sodom and Gomorrah being recorded at Genesis 19:24 by Jehovah causing the sky to rain sulfur and fire. And the date is 2107 BCE from Genesis 17:17 and 21:5. It was when Abraham was 99 years old, right? Also, 2107 has two factors of 7. 7 times 7 times 43. 7 times 7 times 43 equals 2107. That's an interesting comment on that, or, you know, remark or fact. The date of 2206 BCE for Abram's birth agrees, too, with the archaeological record of ancient cylinder seals as regards the time of the Amorite domination in Palestine, because we know the Bible mentions that Abram was dwelling among the Amorites. And those ancient cylinder seal dates are 2200 to 2060 BCE, right at the time of Abraham's life. And with those for Old Kingdom Egypt, 2700 to 2200 BCE, the time of Old Kingdom Egypt, which just preceded the life of Abraham, okay, according to the book by Beatrice Tessier, page 410, and in that book the dynasty of Akkad is dated from 2334 to 2154 BCE, 180 years total, for four generations, or a little less, you know, a little less than 180. I guess four generations would be, that's 45 years, isn't it? Four times 45 is 180. As Sargon of Akkad is the first king to rule Akkad, and as he is famous for having first created the modern zodiac, he first created the modern zodiac as we now know it. It is only sensible, thus, or seems so reasonable, that the first astronomy was performed in Mesopotamia from the time of his reign. Oh, that's sort of debatable, I would think. It's debatable that that's the first astronomy, but as recorded at some earliest dating as formally established by the loyal servant of Alexander. And this is from... So this idea of when astronomy began in Mesopotamia is from Mr. William Whiston, who writes that Callisthenes discovered at Babylon in the year 330 BCE in the book 6 Dissertations, page 194, astronomical records of Belus dated back 1903 years, thereby establishing 2233 BCE as the year astronomy began. 330 plus 1903 is 2233. Now that's remarkable because with Gudea, or Ninus, as we identified him, beginning to reign in 2141, we add for the kings of Akkad for Sharkali Shari 25, for Naram Soon 37, Manish Tishu 15, and Raimush of Akhat 9 years, which totals a date very near 2227 BCE for the end, that's BCE, for the end of the rule of Sargon. Let's do it. 2141 plus 25 plus 37 plus 15 as obtained from these ancient records of Akkad plus 9. What do we get? 2227. Exactly the same number that we said here, for the end of the rule of Sargon, implying that his reign was still on in the year 2233, which is 6 years earlier in the BCE time period, the year established above for the beginning of astronomy, 2233. So he would still have been ruling, because he ruled for something like 40 or 50, or some people think 55 years, but some people give him 41 years, and so on. This also puts his grandson Naram Sun at 2141 plus 25 plus 37 equals 2203 BCE. See? That's right. But 3 years, it's only 3 years after Abram's birth in 2206 BCE, making Naram Sun Nimrod, as he's also called. Just one person who's called Nimrod, there are others, but the despot of Israeli tradition. With Sargon ruling 41 years, thus his rule began 2268 BCE. If we add 41 to 2233. Is that right? No. Sargon. Wait a minute. 41? How do we get that? 2233. Let's see, what do we have? Okay, let's see. 2268, let's say 2268 minus 41. 2227, right. Yeah, that was the year we got for the end of his rule. So 2268 is an interesting number, since some people do say he reigned 41 years. But 2268, we'll talk about this tomorrow. That's the end of today's study. It is October 7th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1742 hours Eastern Daylight Time in North America. I'm Ward Green. And I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie, saying bye for now. We're working on paragraph 310 of the Ark of Urartu. And so, that's it for today.